KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, we have mostly clear skies, 80 degrees in Atlantic. It'll be sunny and hot again today with a high around 99. An excessive heat warning is in effect for the listening area through 7 p.m. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Train home comfort specialist dealer. In area news, the Atlantic Little League organization received a $500 donation to support the youth's activities. Monies were made possible through the Trevor Frederickson Memorial Fund, which also supports the Trevor Frederickson Baseball and Softball Clinic each spring, held prior to the regular Little League season. Each participant receives a T-shirt with a motivational saying on the back. Frederickson, the son of Darren and Melanie Petty of Atlantic, and Gary and Carrie Frederickson of Council Bluffs, lost his life in a 2009 residential fire in Council Bluffs. Melanie Petty with the Trevor Frederickson Memorial Fund said Monday that the organization looks forward to a continued partnership with the Atlantic Little League in the years to come. I'll have more area news in just a moment.
Part of making a major purchase is knowing what kind of service it'll require. For reliable home comfort systems, just look to us. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your local Train dealer. Bob Jacobson here. From major repairs, including new house construction, to seasonal maintenance, we can make your home more comfortable. When it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing your new home or existing residence, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating can get the job done right and in a professional, timely manner. How can I be sure? Because when you call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, you'll talk with me, the owner, and I'm also the one who will be doing the work. It's my name and my reputation at stake, two things I don't take lightly. I'll do the work, and I'll do it right. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Don't put it off. Call me right now. 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
In an update to a story we first brought to you yesterday morning, police in Council Bluffs said Monday afternoon they'd received new information concerning a missing teen but are still actively looking for her. Officials said 17-year-old Michaela Renee Allen of Council Bluffs had been communicating with her family and friends via Facebook and indicated she's fine and will return home. She was last seen around 4:30 p.m. Sunday at the Council Bluffs Public Library. The authorities say that they believe the young woman is not in any danger at this time, but they still would like to know where she is. So if you've come into contact with her or perhaps have seen her, call the Council Bluffs Police Department at 712-328-4721. And in another update to information we brought you yesterday, two Neola residents and a woman from Council Bluffs were injured during a three-vehicle collision Sunday evening on Interstate 80 near Avoca. The Iowa State Patrol said Monday evening that 55-year-old Deborah Masker and 58-year-old Robert Masker, both of Neola, and 53-year-old Maureen Harvey of Council Bluffs suffered minor injuries during the collision, which happened at around 6:35 p.m. Sunday on I-80 westbound at the 44-mile marker. The crash occurred as vehicles were merging into the right lane at a bridge construction zone. The patrol reports a 2008 Chevy Impala driven by Deborah Masker was stopped in a line of traffic when the car was rear-ended by a 2004 Ford F-150 pickup that was driven by Maureen Harvey. After the initial collision, the pickup rolled onto its side and the car was pushed forward during the impact into the rear of the 2008 Chevy truck driven by 20-year-old David Furohelm of Cedar Rapids, who was not injured. The Maskers were transported by Walnut Rescue to Murtu Memorial Hospital in Harlan, while Maureen Harvey was transported to the same facility by Avoca Rescue. The crash and investigation resulted in the traffic being detoured around the site for a little more than 2 hours. Patrol Sergeant Brian Mickelson told KJAN News yesterday that accidents such as the one which occurred Sunday nights are becoming more and more frequent because motorists aren't exercising common sense and courtesies.
There's so many people that keep going down like the right lane that's closed at the end and then expect everybody to let them in, and they don't want to do it because they've got a little road rage kind of going on at that point, and you know, it's just best to be courteous and let them in.
The Audubon County Sheriff's Department reported yesterday that a sleepy Audubon woman had a rude awakening early Saturday morning when the vehicle she was driving crashed and rolled several times. 19-year-old Alicia Renee King suffered only minor injuries during the crash, which happened at around 2:40 a.m. as she was traveling north on Highway 71 south of Hamlin. When King fell asleep at the wheel of the van she was driving, the vehicle entered the east ditch and hit an embankment before rolling several times and coming to rest on its side. The van was declared a total loss, and King was cited for failure to maintain control. The Audubon County Sheriff's Department also said Monday that there were two arrests over the weekend. On Saturday, 28-year-old Bradley Conklin of Coon Rapids was arrested on charges of possession of marijuana, second offense, and possession of drug paraphernalia. That was the result of a traffic stop. Conklin was brought to the Audubon County Jail and held until he posted bond. And 37-year-old Timothy Strabley of Carroll was arrested last Friday following an incident which allegedly occurred on Highway 71 south of Audubon. Strabley was charged with failure to hold a driver's license. He was brought to the Audubon County Jail and also later released. In state news, budget cutbacks have eliminated the job of Iowa's top anti-smoking official. The Division of Tobacco Use and Prevention and Control lost about two-thirds of its budget in the legislature's deliberations, and that left the agency too small to merit a full-time director, so Bonnie Mapes took early retirement. She's led the division since 2004. Public Health Director Marionette Miller-Meeks said state leaders have been talking for years about placing the division's duties into other parts of the health department. Dozens of employees who work at unemployment field offices across Iowa will soon be out of a job. Layoff notices are going up to 95 workers at 36 Iowa Workforce Development offices that are closing. Governor Terry Branstad last week vetoed language in a bill that would have prohibited the offices from closing. Agency spokeswoman Carrie Kuntz says the layoffs will happen in two phases. The first will involve about 45 workers in 31 offices and should be completed in 60 to 90 days. All the offices will be closed by December 31st. Democratic legislative leaders on Friday had issued a formal letter to their colleagues calling for a special session to override Branstad's veto. Governor Branstad plans to travel to Chicago this week on an economic development trip where he will talk to businesses about relocating or expanding into Iowa. Branstad plans to visit Chicago on Thursday and Friday to highlight economic opportunities in the state and promote what he says is Iowa's eager and hardworking workforce and other positive attributes to attract businesses to the state. Branstad's office says he plans to meet with Illinois-based businesses that currently have operations in Iowa and with other businesses that may have an interest in moving or relocating to Iowa. All five Iowa congressmen voted against a debt deal that cleared the U.S. House last night. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
Democratic Congressman Bruce Braley, Dave Loebsack, and Leonard Boswell voted no, as did Republican Congressman Tom Latham and Steve King. King says the spending cuts outlined in the bill were far too small. Latham says the deal does not guarantee true long-term changes in how Washington operates. Braley called the bill a symbol of everything that is wrong in Washington. And Boswell said the deal was an absolute disgrace. Go to RadioIowa.com to read the written statements issued last night by four of the five members of Iowa's congressional delegation. I'm O.K. Henderson reporting.
And the U.S. Senate is scheduled to vote on that deal today, and Senator Tom Harkin, who's a Democrat, will vote against it.
I oppose this misbegotten, misguided deal that they have conjured up.
Harkin suggests the spending cuts outlined in the measure will make the economy worse, not better.
The most important thing that we can do right now, the single most important thing we can do is, I hate to say this, not, quote, balance the budget. The most important thing is to marshal the forces of the federal government to put people back to work.
Iowa's other U.S. Senator, Republican Chuck Grassley, has not indicated how he will cast his vote today. A new report concludes that the high turnover rate for direct care workers in Iowa health care facilities cost those institutions $117 million last year. Aaron Drennan of the Iowa Department of Public Health says when a worker who provides direct care to patients quits, that institution has to spend money to find a replacement.
So any advertising you're doing, interviewing, reference checks, those types of activities, it also includes specific training that's provided for new hires. So any time that agency is spending training those individuals, and of course covering vacancies. So that might mean paying other direct care professionals overtime. It might mean hiring temporary workers. Those are all included in direct costs.
The average pay for direct care workers in Iowa is $10.45 an hour. Drennan says most who leave the profession do so after fewer than 90 days on the job.
There's a lot of reasons for high turnover in this profession. One, of course, is that it tends to be a low-wage position, which sometimes also means lower access to some benefits.
The Iowa Direct Care Worker Advisory Council released the 2010 turnover figures for direct care workers to draw more attention to the profession.
This workforce is actually the largest workforce in the state. There's 55,000 direct care professionals in Iowa, and we know that the demand is growing and increasing. We have an increasing population of aging Iowans that are requesting these services, and people are more and more requesting services within their homes and communities.
The fastest growing profession in Iowa is home health aides. Drennan cites studies indicating another 11,000 direct care workers are needed in Iowa by the year 2018. Executives at hospitals, nursing homes, clinics, and other facilities which provide services to the elderly and disabled say the constant cycle of hiring and training new workers prevents the development of crucial relationships between workers and the persons they serve. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, the Senate is set to vote this afternoon on the bill to raise the debt limit that the House approved yesterday. Senators are expected to approve it and send the bill to President Obama for his signature. A friend of Gabrielle Giffords says the Arizona Congresswoman returned to Houston right after her emotional appearance last night on the House floor. Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz said that Giffords still has a long way to go in her recovery from the January shooting in Tucson. The attorney for the man who's confessed to a deadly bombing and mass shooting in Norway says his client has a long list of unrealistic demands. The attorney says Andrews Breivik wants Norway's government to resign and also wants Japanese specialists to investigate his medical condition because, as Breivik sees it, they would, quote, understand him a lot better than any European would. And authorities are hoping an autopsy scheduled for today will tell them more about what happened to Selena Cass, the 11-year-old New Hampshire girl whose body was found yesterday in a river. She disappeared from her home a week earlier. News time is 8:11.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable, no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing, Heating, and Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a Trane.
And in the funeral announcements, 81-year-old Lawrence Patterson of the Oakland Manor died Friday. Services for Lawrence Patterson will be this afternoon at 1:30 at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. 32-year-old Ben Dean Dwayne Funk of Greenfield died Thursday at his home. Memorial services for Ben Funk will be today at 2 o'clock at St. John's Catholic Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home of Greenfield has arrangements. 82-year-old Lucy Gatow of Council Bluffs died Sunday. Funeral services for Lucy Gatow will be held Wednesday at 10:30 at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. 79-year-old Irene Crozier of Coon Rapids died Sunday. Funeral services for Irene Crozier will be on Thursday at 10:30 at the Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids. 90-year-old Irma Blakely of Cranston, Rhode Island, died Sunday in Warwick, Rhode Island. Graveside services for Irma Blakely will be held Friday at 11 a.m. in the Harlan Cemetery. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. 81-year-old Patricia Ann Pat Ursham Keating of Casey died Sunday. Funeral services for Patricia Keating will be held on Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Casey United Methodist Church. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. And a James George Kearns of Stewart died Friday at the VA hospital in Minneapolis. A gathering of friends and family visitation for James Kearns will be held Saturday from 6 until 8 p.m. at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Our news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a Trane. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.